Welcome to the Secret Circle Podcast. I'm David E., and I'm the host and moderator for this show. On the panel, we have Paul Joseph Ravelli, we have Camille Perkins, and Ryan Higgins. We will discuss spiritual authority and all of those questions that come with it. To start off the program, we have some topics, and the first one is, what was MacGregor Matter's spiritual authority as originally recognized by Crowley? Why did Crowley withdraw his recognition from Mather's authority? Without some centralized source of authority, can Thelema stand on its own? What about individualized authority? What proves the spiritual system as truth? Does Thelema need its holy see? Why would this be important to the Caliphate and to Hor? What is the Pope to the Romans? If we are gods, how can it be that there's any spiritual authority outside our own persons? Who could possibly rule over a human soul in a state of liberty? If not for spiritual authority, what is the purpose of lineage? What is the difference between Eastern and Western lineages? Are the secret chiefs real? Do they grant authority, or does truth grant authority? Does a prophet automatically have spiritual authority? What is the difference between a prophet and an avatar? And for either, does the office carry the weight of authority? What if there is more than one prophet? And can there be more than one avatar? Is spiritual authority commensurate with personal responsibility? Is there a corollary between personal responsibility and self-reliance? Can one be self-reliant when the social structure of humanity is interdependent? So that was a lot of questions, and I think we'll have a great discussion tonight. PJ, do you want to start off?
I think we could start off with the first question involving MacGregor Mathers. MacGregor Mathers had spiritual authority because he formulated the Golden Dawn programs in relation to his contact with the secret chiefs. When he stopped having communication with the secret chiefs, Crowley asserts that he lost his authority. Crowley then gave up his loyalty to Mathers, and he was very loyal to Mathers. And he assumed spiritual authority himself. Now, of course, Crowley now, today, is a dead master, although he's left the marvelous tome, and Liber Al says that we are to refer to his writing. It seems, but, I mean, that's the way most people interpret it. I'm not so sure that's what Liber Al is saying. I'm just saying that in that it seems right now. And the issue becomes, just to complete my thought, and then you guys can jump in, the issue becomes, with the absence of Crowley, who takes spiritual authority? Or what?
Well, yeah. As to the book of the law, what most people forget, Crowley says himself, I believe in Magic and Theory and Practice, somewhere in Book 4, that the Book of the Law was really the due of his angel written on the layman, so to speak, meaning an instruction of his holy guardian angel to him himself. Now, if we recall that the task of the aspirant in his system is to gain knowledge and conversation of the Holy Guardian Angel, we should all be, in essence, receiving our own Book of the Law in one sense or another, meaning our own personal direct contact with either A, the secret chiefs, or B, the truth in and of itself, whatever that may mean. As we recall in the Abermillan operation, when the Holy Guardian Angel is contacted, you're supposed to use a silver plate layman in which the angel writes its instructions to you on due. Now, Crowley took this as a metaphor, and so his Book of the Law is the equivalent of this writing in due on the silver layman. So it's personal instructions to Crowley himself, as well as more generic instructions to humanity at large. But I think the real task is not just to follow this book, but to go to the source of this book, which is the secret chiefs, which is the Holy Guardian Angels
Well, you opened up a whole can of worms there, Ryan. Crowley didn't immediately figure out that it was his holy guardian angel talking to him. Crowley didn't immediately figure out that he was one of the secret chiefs himself. These are things he asserted later. Okay, so he's taking his spiritual authority because he's creating new gnosis. Coming from, he's not concerned with necessarily, although he is concerned that new gnosis does show a contact with the secret chiefs. That's his assertion.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And the question really is that right? I mean, I'm turning out new gnosis, and I've got a couple of instances where I think I've met a couple of secret chiefs, but I'm not talking to the secret chiefs. I'm not in communication with them. I have no special relationship.
Well, maybe you do, and you're afraid to take the responsibility to go behind claiming that.
Yeah,
but that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, I could claim the same ignorance that Crowley claimed. Okay. And then later on, I'll write something that says, okay, I just didn't know it at the time. But
well, it's also a safeguard. I mean, as soon as somebody makes a big claim like that, you got everybody criticizing and attacking from all sides. And it's a very debatable topic.
Well, yeah, and it's a critical topic because Crowley, the dead master, has defined Thelema. People have come along since and have appended that definition, and in some cases even flat out changed it. So what need is there of authority, or does it not matter? Let Thelema be anything it wants to be to anybody.
Well, there are some different ways to look at authority. I don't think it's a certain inner quality. I mean, you have external authority, and you have internal authority. But you also have authority, which is somebody's view in relation to the world or to somebody else, like a hierarchy. And in that you can have, for example, the teacher and the student, which in the ideal they become closer in relation to one another, less of a difference. And then you have another, which is like slave and slave master, where they're being exploited, and that's something that we're seeing with the caliphate. They're exploiting their so-called authority.
Well, you rest on the whole notion of power. I think there's two kinds of power. Power over others, and then there's power to, or proactive power. And I think the authoritative power we are referring to is power to. The power to produce gnosis. The power to lead and inspire others.
And Cammy, inner authority works a couple of ways. Yes, that inner authority could be my holy guardian angel, let's just say.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it could just be authenticity, myself, which might be the knowledge and conversation of the holy guardian angel. You know, so when we're talking authority in terms of McGregor Mathers, you know, it gave him the right to initiate. It gave him the power to initiate.
Yeah, what I take it to mean as, well, first, from what I understand, McGregor Mathers was at least a Zelator in motor rights and astral attack and defense, that he was claiming to be an adept along with his wife. And so when you say that Crowley said he lost his authority, then I take it to mean that he didn't take him seriously anymore, that he felt he was not qualified to speak on that subject.
Well, Mathers' creative well dried up. That was the problem. He had nothing else to contribute after he created the Golden Dawn system. And indeed, he couldn't even handle the Inner Lodge. So his own creative well dries up. Him and his wife really kind of moved to France. They're kind of living in decadence at this point. Mathers is more twisted by his philosophy. There's rumors that he was sending his wife out to hook to make money, and there's drunkenness and that kind of thing going on. And I don't know whether that's true or not, or whether it was even kind and fair to relate that rumor. But certainly Mathers' creative well dried up. Okay, and in Thelema, in today's world, authority is not coming from new gnosis anymore. Authority is coming from the force of power in the caliphate, from the force of a website in for others. Just how many people like you, whether you can get published.
Well, again, it's coming from power over others as opposed to power to do something.
Well, yeah. when you ask, does Crowley have authority, you're basically saying, do you feel that he's an authority on Thelema? And so what I did and some other people have done is, you know, investigate and see if his words ring true. Various ways, mathematically, with gematria, in a mystical sense, not just, you know, that the words resonate with you and leave it at that. So do you recognize that he's a spiritual authority?
Well, yeah, this is a whole other way of looking at spiritual authority. Spiritual authority now is coming from the product of the work, as opposed to, you know, power and force. The caliphate imitating the Pope. You know, the papacy.
Right.
So, and but there's an advantage in that power authority because you can define the tradition and then you can train priests to preserve the tradition. Of course, then the tradition becomes stuck. It becomes unchangeable. Unless
it becomes a tradition. Then you got to ask yourself the bigger question, what are we here to do, to practice magic or to be part of a tradition?
Yeah, I mean, that's really true if we're talking about the AA. But if we're talking about orders like the OTO and other such magical lodges, they're not necessarily composed to elevate their initiates. They're doing specific projects. The Typhonian will do their Lam Sedanas, right? The Caliphate has very little interest in spiritual work. It even says that it's not a teaching order. You know, the initiations are there really to ingratiate you further into the group. When you reach the inner order, your duty is to see to it that the lodge is well entertained. So you become the entertainment planner.
Tradition with the caliphate is really ridiculous. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's not only that, as you were saying before, with their dating system, it just doesn't make any sense at all. And so they kind of invent their own tradition, and then they say, okay, this is going to be the tradition of Thelema now.
Well, I don't know.
They sound like little more than a frat organization at a college or university. So,
yes, they're a fraternity. That's what they're supposed to be. I mean, they're fulfilling the function. They're not doing anything wrong per se. I mean, there are things here and there that I don't like, but overall, they're not doing anything wrong as far as what they're doing inside. Of course, they're not really explaining the initiations and the meanings behind them. And, you know, there's other issues in how they choose their initiates. But they're certainly not composed as a magical lodge to generate new gnosis. They're not the Lam Sedanas.
Well, what was the caliphate in the beginning? What was the original intention there?
I think Crowley just saw it as a way to explore his interest in sexual magic. And, you know, he found a, well, not just to get laid. It was about, you know, experimenting with the techniques and the secrets and, you know, developing the knowledge base of that. You know, and he thought the order was going to be all AA members, and it obviously devolved into so many other things. He was ready to shut it down. It got weird, and he tried to shut it down. Germer tried to shut it down. I don't know that Moda actually tried to shut it down, but Moda got weird in there. So it became something different, and Crowley walked away from it when he did. He saw that it wasn't an evil for him, for any work he was interested in.
Well, so obviously other people took over it from there and kept it going. I mean, as much as I want to be a part of a community, I don't want to join one that's already ready-made that I would have to conform to. And I think that people should go about creating communities of quality people. Whenever that quality starts to degrade, then the group should be disbanded. Which is why I sought another alternative, and I'm here talking with you guys.
Yeah, the AA is more the only real community I'm interested in, because I'm more of a lone wolf kind of guy. I'm more interested in just meeting and talking with people once in a while about specific issues, and not to start, you know, gossiping about the Joneses, which is pretty much what Masonic and OTO bodies seem to amount to.
If they let any Tom, Dick, and Harry in, the guy could be a criminal, you know, a dangerous person, don't care, and you're swearing oaths of brotherhood to these kind of people. It gets pretty silly.
Yeah, but now that we've really explored the Mathers issue and looked at its correlates with current lodges today, what was the next question? Because I think we could lead it into that to keep us on target.
The next question is, without some centralized source of authority, can Philema stand on its own?
If there's no authority to define what Philema is, how do we hold ourselves up as Thelemites to the world? Just simply that we adhere to the book of the law, whatever that means?
No, it's a good point. So it's just that we each have a responsibility to understand the book of the law and apply it and advocate its application in the way that we best understand it. But at the same time, the comment on the book of the law itself says that that's an individual task. It says that there can be no one authority to produce a one-size-fits-all exegesis of the book of the law for all to follow. But the book of the law itself is its own authority, and it's up to each man and woman to study it and understand it within their own right.
But that becomes particularly important, in what I said before, referring back to Crowley's writings. The comment says to refer back to the writings of Ankhof and Mekhatsu, the scribe, which means only to refer back to the book of the law itself.
Yeah.
You know, so we look to...
Spiritual authority is a very baited phrase there. I mean, not spiritual authority, I'm sorry. Spiritual anarchy. It's a baited word. With being a Thelemite, it doesn't mean that Thelemites don't secretly yearn for peers to share their ideas with. It doesn't necessarily mean that they want to be antisocial and cultic, because books and words don't harm people.
You'd be surprised. The Communist Manifesto harmed a lot of people. Also, Mein Kampf.
But really, then, are we slaves to Liber Al, then? Is Liber Al spiritual authority? We're taking authority from a book, a dead piece of inert matter?
But the thing is, it says the book announced a new law for mankind, and the law is do what thou wilt.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the law that we follow, not the book.
Yeah.
And that's the difference we need to make.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, and it says also it replaces the moral and religious sanctions of the past. It's pretty easy, actually.
The law itself is easy. The problem is that men and women are not easy. the law itself is very simple and easy, but men and women are very difficult, because over centuries across the globe, we've been culturally programmed to not do our will. We've been culturally programmed to interfere with other people. And up until now, that has been the general default program. And now this new state of consciousness is starting to arise within us. There's a conflict with the old tendencies in our behavior and in our culture, and the new awareness that's stirring within us to pursue our own individual well-being in this manner. So the law is simple, but unfortunately men and women are not. And the work of initiation really involves ironing out those complexes and working them and repairing them, so to speak, so that the light of this law can shine through the vessel of the human being.
Wilbert Alpert is people that understand what Al means, assuming that we do. But for others, they're going to interpret Al differently. So if we're going to center spiritual authority on Al, and everybody's going to interpret it for themselves, we have anarchy.
I hate to break your bubble, PJ. I believe there's always been anarchy and nothing but anarchy, and our governments are the product of anarchy. What are governments? What are spiritual leaders? They're just people following the evolutionary course of the stronger and more clever dominating or leading others. That's the result of anarchy. I don't see anarchy as anything to be afraid of. This is anarchy.
Well, I'm an anarchist, so I have no problem with anarchy personally. Yeah. But we do know that creativity and beauty come when we establish order.
Yes, but order is, I see, as a product of anarchy. You can't, the two can't stay separate, at least not longer than a few brief moments in history. They're constantly interacting with each other.
Well, the law would be order then. I mean, as far as the spiritual anarchy, and everybody's interpreting it for themselves, what you have, if there's somebody trying to assert, hey, you should interpret this literally, and this is the only way to interpret it, then that's total chaos. It's too conformist.
Well, yeah, as soon as you have somebody policing around how that morale should be interpreted, then that person's not following the book of the law anymore.
Yeah, they're invested in security. I mean, people who say, well, guns kill people. No, they don't. People kill people.
Every war that Crowley talked about that was caused by our failure to implement the book of the law was caused by somebody saying, hey, I know the answer. I'm going to standardize it, and I'm going to, by force, make sure everybody follows this standard, whether it was the Red Revolution in Russia, whether it was the National Socialists in Nazi Germany, or whether it's the Bible thumpers and the Bible belt down in the USA, it's the same shit, and it always causes the opposite of harmony.
That's so confusing to me. I mean, it's pretty impossible to make somebody see exactly the way you interpret something. And when you have even literalistic interpretation, that's still going to divide into a bunch of separate little groups into sectarianism. And
well, yeah,
they're fighting
impossible
amongst themselves.
It's impossible, but what it does cause is temporary oppression and stagnation and unnecessary suffering. The book of the law is really supposed to be a reflection of truth itself and the law of nature, which is that spontaneous human behavior is good, and that it sorts itself out in a spontaneous, natural way. It doesn't say that everything is going to be perfect and hunky-dory, but that there's a degree of harmony that naturally and spontaneously arises when people are trusting their own inner light and when they're thinking for themselves. And conflicts, of course, are a part of that. When the book of the law is not being followed, that's when you have somebody wanting to create some sort of standard and create a one-size-fits-all approach to life. And that just goes against natural law. It just doesn't work. No system that's ever tried to do that has ever survived. You know, change is stability. So we have to constantly be changing, and out of that we get our stability, we get our harmony.
But somebody's going to come along, and somebody's going to try to take the mantle of authority. Then what happens?
Let them do it. Let them cause some problems for a while. It'll only be temporary. They will reach their end, and I will enjoy watching it. It'll be good.
What gives us the right and power to initiate, whether in the AA or any other magical order?
The person, the fact that people are willing to be initiated by any one person gives that person the power and authority to do that. It's a mutual contract. It's like on that movie, The Emerald Forest, where the chief says, if I force him to do something he doesn't want to do, I'm no longer chief. So the real power is in everybody, but we temporarily assign a social role to somebody to serve a specific function. Mm. But the power is in both the student and the teacher, and they're both creating that situation together. The teacher has no power without the student, and vice versa for the student.
Yeah, I have to agree with Ryan, but I'm going to add that it depends on what they're initiated in. Is it bullshit or truth?
Yeah, well, there is that too. But the proof is in the pudding. I mean, if you're being initiated into bullshit, your life's just going to go nowhere.
But Ryan, I have a question on that, because you said something before on Thelema being philosophy corresponding to nature.
So it must. It must. Yes, so go ahead.
And nature, and then we include the universe, for example.
And when I say nature, I mean things as they are, as they happen, not just in our minds, in our imaginations, but as we experience them concretely.
Yeah, exactly. And
independently of our theories.
Of course. And in nature and in the universe, there's some sort of, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but I'll use it anyway, authority. There's some sort of authority or some sort of, I mean, in the solar system, we have the sun. Everything revolves around the sun, and then we have the center of the galaxy.
No, I think not. I think, I could refer to the Book of the Law, or I could just refer to my own reasoning. Just by my own reasoning, first of all, every particle of matter exhibits its own gravitational attraction relative to its own situation. And of course, you know, we have large bodies such as the sun that we revolve around. Then there's an even larger body that it revolves around, ad infinitum, in my opinion, meaning in an infinite regress of some sort. When you have an infinite regress, that means that something having more power over me is only relative to that specific range of space and time that you are looking at, judging it by. But there is no absolute power in any one thing outside of its consequences. So we put that in terms of the Book of the Law, every man and every woman is a star. Every number is infinite. There is no difference. It all depends on the context, how they're related. You can create temporary power structures where one is bigger than the other. But if you look at the scheme as a whole, every number is infinite.
Ryan, in the AA, of course, people initiate themselves. But
yeah.
How does the Shakti pot of lineage get generated if not from authority? And I say that more rhetorically, but it's an important question.
It's through authority, but that authority is dependent on the student-teacher relationship. You have no authority if there's nobody there to acknowledge it.
Well, yes. I mean, if everyone's initiating themselves, the authority is certainly coming from the inner within each of us. But as you know,
it was you that said that the Shakti Path comes from the friendship and the intimate relationship is built up through this teacher.
Yes. I asked the question kind of knowing the answer. But I asked it because, as you know, Ryan, recently somebody was talking to us about becoming a probationer in our lineage, and they decided that we didn't have Crowley's authority.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We were subsequently fraudulent or whatever we were. And so there's still plenty of people in the world that feel the dead master is the authoritative voice.
Okay, so this guy had basically, you didn't gain his trust.
There was no time to gain trust, you know, in the beginning.
In my opinion, I don't look to gain anybody's trust. I want people coming to me that have intuition, and they can either sense if this is right for them or not. If I have to gain somebody's trust, then I'm playing the role of a salesman. Truth does not need to be sold.
Great point, Ryan, because there's a reason why the FAA forbids the charging of money for instruction.
Yeah.
And in that, the teacher needs the freedom to say to the student, you fucked up there. You did wrong. You got, you know, you're failing this ordeal, etc. Whereas if money is the issue, then the teacher can't say that necessarily, you know, because he's protecting his dinner.
When you're getting paid, everybody passes and everybody wins.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Silence.
Silence is beautiful.
Yes. Okay, but I had a little question there. The inertia of the universe, then. The one person, the person doing his true will, or connected to his true will, has the inertia of the universe to the system. And in a way, if I could put it right here in English, I see the system of AA, or the system of the Lima, as a way to, like, dive into the will, not only of yourself, but of the whole universe, to actually become one with the will of the universe, and to be, like, I don't know what the word, but to dissolve into that will, or not dissolve, but to really become one with something much, much greater than you think or yourself, but actually is yourself.
I think the last sentence you just said is probably the most accurate way of putting it. And Crowley described that in 8 lectures on yoga. Yoga meaning basically uniting yourself with the all. I would say that sums it up.
Yeah, and isn't that the authority then? When you do that, when you dissolve or become yourself in that sense, and you manifest will, you manifest the will of the universe, which is your own will.
Well, yes. I mean, if we take the teachings and the Book of the Law and the Order seriously, we should not fear whether or not there are imposters or people claiming to be authority figures or people giving false teachings of Thelema. The true will survive. False will die. Now, the false might take a lot of people with them, but that's also part of the weeding out process. I mean, we're not here to save people. You know, we're here to take people that are already halfway there, or already there on some level, and with a magical chain via the initiatory structure of the AA, go even further out of common interests. We're not here to save people from being taken away by false masters. If anything, the false master should take them away. That's part of nature. It's just no different than, seeds that you plant, the ones that shouldn't grow, don't make it. And only the hardy ones make it.